Welcome to Humble Brag. I'm Nate Mendel, and today we're going to talk about the Andrew Tate phenomenon. Indeed, the name Andrew Tate sparks either a lot of happiness or sadness, negativity, depending on which home the name comes up. Before we repeatedly mention someone else's name, let me just remind myself of the principle that the point of talking about someone else isn't for the purposes of engaging in lashon hara or gossip. First of all, we know through Chafetz Chaim that information that is public knowledge that more than a couple people know is already not classified as lashon hara. And secondly, the purpose of this conversation is not gossip in its own right. When we mention someone else's name, the purpose is the underlying phenomenon itself. What do we learn? What do we glean out of the concept of the conversation? So this isn't about the person themselves, it's about what they represent. And indeed, Andrew Tate represents something very large because he has sparked the imagination of hundreds of millions, if not billions of people. He's one of the most famous and searched human beings walking planet Earth today. And there's a reason why he has captured the imagination of the inhabitants of planet Earth. We're going to explore that, and we're going to explore some of the controversial topics related to him, as well as who he is and what he really stands for, of course, from an opinion perspective. Let me begin by sharing my own journey in discovering Andrew Tate and the Andrew Tate phenomenon. So, just like many of you, I saw some of his short videos circling. My friends would send some, and it was just, this guy, some funny guy who's macho, rah, 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 saying controversial stuff, and you kind of just dismissed it from there. It was either funny or not. It either triggered you or didn't. It didn't really matter. It was a nobody. And then he began to become more and more famous, and when he started having problems, he was complaining that nobody's listening to his long-form interviews and that everything's being taken out of context, and that media and various other entities are deliberately trying to sabotage him. So I'm like, you know what? Okay, let me take an hour to listen to what he really has to say. Let's give this guy a chance. He's not just, some influencer who's trying to gain attention. Maybe there's something more behind it. So I ventured to listen to one of his long-form episodes. I don't remember which one it was. And what I saw very clearly and what I determined very quickly is that the core messages that he is driving home are conservative by nature, they are religious by nature, and there's nothing really abnormal about them. There is perhaps a beef you can have with how he delivers them. There is perhaps trigger-worthy behaviors that ooze out of him, but that's your personal problem. But the messages themselves seem to be pretty sound, at least most of them, 90%+ of them. Coming to that determination required me, first of all, to not buy into any of the hype or hysteria, which is what media companies want you to do, which is what agenda-driven entities want you to do. I already heard opinions on both sides of the aisle. I already formulated my own opinion based off of the short clips that I saw. But instead of going into the long-form episode with an opinion, I deliberately tried to be unbiased and tell myself, let me just listen to his message. Let me formulate an opinion based off of that. And that is what I did. In these episodes, he was constantly mentioning that they're after him and there's a system and a particular way in which they pursue and try to shut down people like him. And particularly, the three steps that they follow is first they try to cancel you, slander, cancel you, shut you down, offer you to change your message, they'll pay you for it. They'll try that entire realm. And if that fails, they'll try to put you into jail. And when that fails, they kill you. And this has been repeated, and this is the reality when it comes to very controversial people like this, which seems to be becoming the reality for him. It seems to be coming true, which is part of why he's continuing to gain so much popularity, I believe. And indeed, that's what happened. So shortly after, they start coming for him. First, they cancel him. A very coordinated attack by not just a couple social media platforms, but by dozens. You're talking about his banking from Stripe to everything in between. They canceled him. They tried to shut him down. And when that backfired, it didn't work. It just made him more famous. The next thing that came up was his charges, and he got arrested. Now, there's a lot of confusion that surrounds his circumstances. And this is a direct cause of social media and media. This is what they want you to believe. I had some conversations with some people who don't really like him. And when I start getting into the conversation with them, I see right away that they're literally repeating the lies spread on media and on news. And they don't really know the facts because they're not following all his interviews. They're not really looking into what's taking place. They're not looking at the case itself. They're just listening to the lies and they're repeating it. And when you have a conversation with an individual like that, they're throwing everything into the box. In order for us to explore whether Andrew Tate phenomenon, whether Andrew Tate, his messages and everything he's saying, etc., is conducive or not conducive, we have to organize the topic because there's so many different points and you have to check off stuff as you go. Otherwise, you're never going to get through it. It's just going to be like arguing about God or religion or philosophy where you're just going in circles. You're not getting anywhere. So let's take a step back and let's slow down. The first point I made, and you have to take a position on, are his ideas, his core ideas, the message behind them, good ideas, ethical and moral ideas? I believe the answer is yes. They align with, like I said, traditional conservative values. So we believe the ideas are okay. Is he, as a person, a nice person? Do you like his character? Do you like how he speaks and how he gives over his message? Personally, not necessarily. And maybe that's a trigger for you as well. But I don't mix the two. I don't mix how he says something with what he's saying. So we have to separate those two. I think logically that needs to be done. So you have what he's saying, the messages he's sharing, and then you have how he's saying it and who he is character-wise. I don't particularly like it. I grew up religious. We believe in a certain degree of humility, a certain degree of respect. There's a lot of benefits in learning how to be a subtle, calm, and articulate human being. Now, Andrew Tate is very articulate, but he's not calm, and he doesn't give off the impression that he's humble. Okay, but those are my personal problems with character, so that's not something to attack. So we have his message, we have his character. Now let's look at some of the actions. So the media wants there to be a lot of confusion around this, but there really isn't if you follow what's going on. Andrew Tate's Hustlers University is a business that he has. It's like an online college where they teach online businesses. They're basically teaching young kids how to make money online, whether it's through learning sales tactics, drop shipping, digital and media, just typical stuff. And there's nothing new about that. It's not a new model. It exists. It has existed. And it's very successful because he's very successful. He's very out there. He's very famous. So the more famous he becomes, the more successful he's going to be with that. But I don't think there's any efficacy issues with that. At its worst, you could say it falls into the category of exploration where you have maybe fake gurus and teachers and whatever. You know, we've discussed that in the past, but I wouldn't even go that far. And I don't even think anyone's claiming that. So let's leave that alone. Hustlers University has nothing to do with the fact that he had a webcam business. So he has his Hustlers University. He has various ways that he makes money. Hustlers University is one of them. And I believe from an ethical perspective in business, it's kosher. There doesn't seem to be anything wrong with it. Some people learn how to make money. Some don't. It's just a typical run-of-the-mill courses and whatever. Of course, it's got his spin, his perspective, his rah-rah-rah macho-macho, but it's all it is. And then there's this notion that he had a webcam business that he no longer has. I believe, I'm not exactly sure when he closed it down, maybe after he became religious. It's noteworthy to mention that he was an atheist. He's now a theist through Islam, and he claims to be religious. In fact, since he went to prison, he also stopped drinking alcohol. So he does seem to be on a path. Remember, he's in his 30s. It's a very important age in terms of choosing path and solidifying who you are and what your values are. I know because I'm 30, figuring out life, right? So he's in his 30s. And he's venturing down a path of more higher values. So he becomes religious and he's going down a certain path. Before that, he had a webcam business. Now, the webcam business itself is a legal business, especially in Romania. And it's a big business. Now, again, here you have to make a judgment call. Do you believe in the efficacy of a webcam business? Yes or no? You know, I'm going to give my opinion on it. No, I would never want to own a webcam business. I don't want to be in any industry that is so controversial that uses human beings in any way or degrades human beings in any way, so on and so forth. Because maybe I had those types of values when I was younger. I'm religious from birth. So I shouldn't say that I'm religious from when I made the conscious choice to live a religious life when I was a teenager. But that notwithstanding, the business itself of webcam is legal. And there's nothing wrong with it at surface level. Fast forward a little bit, when canceling fails and they trump up charges against him, they're charging him for human trafficking. And again, what everyone's doing is mixing all this together. Hustlers University, webcam, human trafficking. There's no shaychus. His charges have nothing to do with his legal webcam business that he had. The human trafficking aspect pertains particularly to how he got girls in relationships. And when we hear human trafficking, we're thinking the trafficking of human beings. It is nothing like that whatsoever. It is the claim that he emotionally manipulated women into relationships of some sorts. And that's the entire big, he's getting arrested, he's arrested for, he's sat in jail for. So you see, when we start separating each thing and we don't just like mix them all together and then put your judgment on his character on top of it, it begins to present itself in sharp focus. And it's not so overwhelmingly negative toward who he is, what he's doing, and what he's trying to do. Now let's look at the charges themselves. There's a legal system. He believes in the legal system. He's following the legal system. He sat for, 3 months? And they were not able to bring any real evidence to the table, any significant evidence to hold him. And he has a little bit more to go. And if they don't bring evidence, the entire thing is gone. I'm not going to share an opinion on it because I have no opinion. When people are indicted and they're accused of something, let the system figure itself out. If there is real evidence and he did wrong people, he did mistreat individual girls or whatever, there will be evidence. It will come to light. So let it play its course. But don't jump to conclusions because innocent until proven guilty. But do understand that he sat in jail for 3 months. Now, this is how they do things in Romania. They're able to do that. But understand what he's going through and what he went through before real evidence is on the surface. Let's not make that away because that all ties in to his claims that they're after him. There's an agenda. Somebody's pushing something for all of this to be taking place without evidence. And if you have any morals or values, you would be utterly against somebody's civil rights, human rights being violated like that. There's already a mountain of factual evidence that he's being mistreated and was mistreated over and over again. And there's no evidence to the contrary. There are claims by media outlets that we already know are not trustworthy, that he's a bad guy and that he did X, Y, and Z, but there's no evidence. Andrew Tate himself says, there's a woman I hurt. I wronged somebody. Report it to the police. If he's so bad for so many years and he hurt so many people, why hasn't one gone to the police and make a formal report? The closest thing to that, I should say the furthest thing to that, are that there's these 2 or 3 anonymous names that popped up at fake media, fake news outlets with a story about Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate emotionally abused me, or Andrew Tate raped me, you know, 5, 10 years ago or whatever. But again, separate these occurrences. Any one of these girls could go to the police and make a report. As long as they hide behind fake names and they're being reported by fake news, by the way, the fake news literally offering money, bribery, for people to kick up dirt on him, and they have not succeeded. So he says something else that's interesting that I agree with. He says, you know, when he was in prison, they reached up to 2,000 people who know him, trying to find dirt on him, and they got nowhere. He said, if you take any individual off the street and reach out to 2,000 people who have ever encountered this person, you will find more dirt than you found. And I actually believe that's true. Take a random person who's made mistakes, who's maybe gone a little bit outside of the line, avoided some taxes, did something wrong, hurt someone, you're going to find some dirt. The fact that he's so famous, they put in so much resources into trying to find guilt, and they cannot find one person to formally come forward and say something, is astounding. Okay, so there's like a pattern emerging here. There's this guy who's being accused of being, you know, horrible by a certain portion of the population. Then there's another portion of the population like, no, the messages are cool. Kids are really into him. The youth are really into him. If he's so bad, show me why he's so bad. Now, we don't know the answer to this. he might be guilty. He may have actually done immoral things, bad things, illegal things when he was younger. But we just don't know that. And it's that simple. Doesn't matter what my opinion. I could look at a person and judge by the character. Oh yeah, I could see him choking out a girl or doing something. Which, by the way, the video or audio that surfaced on that turned out to be role play. Which again, I can make sense. Like I said, that makes perfect sense. He's a fighter. He likes violence, and he's in these relationships, and there's maybe alcohol involved, and they're having fun, and they role play, and you know, it makes perfect sense to me. But whether it makes sense to me or not, I'm not going to pass judgment on his character and his behavior based off of that. When somebody's accused and their life is on the line, literally their life is on the line. The person can sit in jail for more than 10 years. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. What matters is evidence. You don't have to like the person. You don't have to think in your head that he could be the type of person that did X, Y, and Z. It only matters what the court finds. And in this case, the court hasn't found or presented anything important yet. All right, so now let's move into some of my opinions on the phenomenon of his personality. I've had similar opinions when it comes to Trump. First of all, if you don't know the messages that he's really driving home now, Andrew Tate, that is, listen to one of his long-form episodes or interviews. It could be even one of the more recent ones, like with Tucker Carlson or with the guy Patrick Bet-David from Valuetainment. Just listen to one of them because he's just repeating the same stuff over and over. He 100% refined his message. In fact, when he got canceled, he put out an interview. He put out a message saying he's learned from this, that he needs to refine his messaging because he believes that he has good messages, but perhaps, I don't remember exactly how he termed it, but perhaps he has to go about a different way in giving it over. Okay, so he's said this himself, and you could see that he's wearing a new suit. He is actively tweaking his message for it to be more refined, less controversial, but still be very, very potent. Is it possible that he was more wild, less moral, less ethical when he was younger, and he didn't know he was going to be this famous? There's a possibility. That's my opinion, and that's from judging his character and from judging by the videos and audios that I've seen chopped up from him. I'm admitting that I'm passing judgment on what I was fed on media a year or two ago. So I do believe that there's a possibility. What I am judging is that he is transitioning and shaping himself up to be a more respectful and more respected young adult who has real ideas, real opinions, and real values. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I may have made mistakes 5-10 years ago. I may have believed things, said things that I don't believe today. We grow, especially from our 20s to our 30s, from 25 to 35. Huge turning point in up here, what goes on in the brain. A lot of things start to make a lot more sense. We start to really glean the value out of different philosophies and different value systems. It's just a different ballgame. So there's nothing necessarily wrong with the fact that he may have made mistakes 10 years ago and he's trying to shape up now. So I don't care so much about who he was. I didn't know him back then. I can't speak to it, and nor can you. Nobody can, unless you literally know, unless you saw him smash someone's face in or beat a girl or treat somebody wrong, you can't even have an opinion on it. Or you can, and it doesn't matter what your opinion is, let alone people who don't know anything about him. So I'm not going to pass an opinion on that part of his life. I will say that it seems that he may have been more wild, and it also seems that he's really shaping up now because he understands the power and responsibility that he has. So if we go and we just look at the messages that he's saying today, you will see good messages wrapped in a lot of testosterone, but the messages themselves are good. Now, let's talk about the testosterone for a moment, because I think this is actually an area of a lot of contention, and maybe not even knowingly to some, this is really what's shaping a lot of people's opinion. And let's go back to what I was saying earlier, where I said I felt the same thing with Trump. I believe that in order to enact change in society, in our times, it requires a very controversial character, a very loud and obnoxious profile. Calm, respectful, and mature human beings do not get the attention that macho, testosterone-filled characters do. It's really that simple. A mature person looks at it and says, the fact that you have to all day means that there's something wrong with you. So we pass that judgment. And that might be true. Psychologically, it might be true. He might be struggling with something internally. Nonetheless, that is what's required in our times to make big changes, especially when you're going up against the world, the consensus. Find me someone who speaks softly and has beautiful, positive messages, and it is given over in a rosy way that reaches even half the influence of these types of characters. Trump is the same way. Acts like a child, says things that are sometimes irrational, bullies people, behaves like a toddler. It doesn't take away from the core value and the core message. And the fact is, it takes that immature character in terms of the profile of the human to get that much attention, to make that much change. And I don't see it any other way. So personally, I don't have an issue with it. I'm not him. Just because he walks around like this doesn't mean I'm going to. I understand that you need somebody that pumps their chest all day to make huge waves in the world today, to affect huge change in society, to influence. So you might say, well, this is not good because he's influencing children, our youth. So let's go to the next stage here. Yes, he's influencing our youth. Why though? Our youth are not listening to intellectual, soft-spoken religious people or people who are promoting religious values, conservative values. Children are not interested in that. They're interested in controversial figures. So if they're interested in fringe, what would you rather? Them listen to the transgender dude rapping about how he's cutting his genitalia off? Or would you rather have somebody like Andrew Tate who says, be masculine, be a man, say no, stand up for yourself, work hard, blah, blah, blah. Of course you would want him to listen to Andrew Tate. When you understand that children don't have the choice, they're being fed this on social media. Social media is evil, by the way. Listen to my previous episodes. They don't have a choice. What's coming up on the feed? It's either Andrew Tate saying that you could work hard and get a Bugatti, or I want to put tits on because I feel like a girl. So what are the options? Everything's give and take. So even in the realm of influence, it's a choice. Do you want your children listening to somebody who's driving home a core message versus the new age stuff? Of course you want the core message driven home. And if it comes with a heavy dose of testosterone and ego, understand that that's something that you will most likely grow out of, because most people grow out of their ego. It's interesting to see a 35-year-old like Andrew Tate have such a large ego. It's interesting to see somebody like Trump, an old seasoned man, to have an ego through the roof, gets triggered like that. But that's why they're able to do what they're able to do. Doesn't mean that the people that they're influencing are going to have that same ego. Not at all. Most human beings do grow up. They do learn to tame their ego and to be more mature about things and more rational about how they approach things in life. So I don't see those complaints to have a lot of value. If you logically and systematically break down, as I have been in the past, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, this entire phenomenon, there's pros and cons on each side of it. There's cause and effect. And when you start looking at each mechanical part, you notice it's not so bad because the alternative is worse. One of the reasons why people like his message so much, I don't want to say love him. Yes, there are fans who just love him. They don't love him. You don't know him, right? I could say I love Andrew Tate. I don't know Andrew Tate. I never saw the guy. I never shook his hand. I don't know him. But this is how people typically communicate. Like we express ourselves like we love him. Really what we like is his messaging. We like, there's a certain aspect of what he's putting out there that we really like. And it is perceived in the sense of us loving him. We may not actually like him as a human being if we had a relationship with him. If I worked for Trump or married into the Trump family, I may not like Trump because I'll have something to do with him and I may not jive well with him. But I like his messaging. I like the point that he's trying to drive home. And that's what we love. When people say they love Andrew Tate, really what they love is either that he's unapologetically male, and that's wrong these days, but that's what I love, that somebody has the cojones to come and be who he is without apologizing for it, and that he's driving home those messages and values to our children. I love that he's confident. Personally, I do not love ego and an excess of testosterone. I don't think it's necessary in the day and age that we live. Maybe if he was a gladiator or one of the Spartacus, one of the 300, you know, I feel like back in the day, yeah, there was a huge utility for it, right? So if Andrew Tate's drinking 10 or 15 cups of coffee a day and taking nicotine to feel jacked, your typical person does not need that in 2023. You just simply don't. Now, you can learn from that. I believe he needs that. Don't get me wrong. Andrew Tate needs that to continue to do what he's doing. Every person he's influencing doesn't necessarily need that, and they will come to learn that on their own. But you have to understand that's a side effect of being influenced by that type of character. But these are not the things that you need to worry about. Let nature take its course. Let age, let the fact that children are going to age and mature, let it take its course. Just drill down to the core messaging, the core value systems. The fact is, right now, despite the past, I don't know much about the past, he's refining his message and he's driving home good, strong messages. Men should be men. Women are women. Men should work hard. Men should learn to stand up for themselves. Men should stop watching porn. Men should get off of social media and start working and accomplishing and achieving. If men feel like they're losers and they're depressed, they could solve all that by going to exercise. It's just typical, healthy, both spiritually and physically, endeavors. That's what he's promoting. And he's doubling down on all of that. And because he's risen to this much fame, he is now going to have opinions on everything from politics to everything in between. And that's perfectly fine because he may continue to be a big figure for the coming years. He may continue to influence our youth for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Who knows? So, kol hakavod. Refine yourself. Make the message more clear. And I'll just say, in the areas where I don't think his ideas align with traditional values that have to do with women, marriage, and a couple areas where he says things that are not 100% in alignment, I believe he will come around on a lot of those topics, and you're going to hear a completely different message in the coming years that you did 3 years ago from him. So you can't base your entire complaint on the fact that he says certain things about women. He recently became religious, just in the past few years, I believe. He's actively changing. He's actively refining himself. He's actively toning down and learning about himself. Give it a little more time and he'll refine that. And no, you're not going to see new clips coming out where he said that, you know, the woman is my property. And by the way, when he says stuff like that, it's so fringy, right? Because we've come so far. He's taking that out of the Bible. I mean, let's be 100%. It's a contractual thing. It's a technical thing. Now, even Jews and Muslims, anyone who any advanced religious movement has really refined the way that they look at that, the way that they treat it, the way that we discuss it. But it doesn't change the fact that it is written in the books. He didn't come up with this idea. This was kind of the consensus in the days of old. Now, things have changed, we have evolved, and I have no reason to believe that he's not going to evolve gradually away from that, or at least you're not going to hear that so much. And if he continues to believe that, that's his problem. If your entire complaint is that he's teaching this to kids, give it some time. Because remember, first of all, he's not going anywhere. Secondly, I should say that the more you don't want your kids to listen to him, the more they will. So that this fantasy that you're going to tell your kids, Andrew Tate is bad, don't listen to him, is a fantasy. So don't even go down that road. The only thing you could do for your children is instill good values on your own. Instill humility. Instill packing away the ego and learning how to control it and deal with it. Instill healthy masculinity and so on and so forth. So when they listen to Andrew Tate, they understand how to frame what he's saying. Like I'm trying to do here in this conversation, I'm trying to frame some stuff. You want your kids to know how to do that. Give them utilities to do that. You teach them the values so it makes sense. So they know how to make sense of what he's saying. But don't think for a second that your kids are going to stop listening to him because you're complaining about it because you detest him. The opposite effect is going to take place. And understand that hopefully he will refine himself in those particular areas. And in other areas, like I said, the 80, 90% sterling, the messages that he's sharing. He's sprinkling a lot of energy onto it, a lot of testosterone, masculinity, and stuff onto it. But he has to do that for himself to be jacked up enough to even fight this fight. He doesn't have to do this. It's his life mission, his life purpose to do this. He believes he's helping this world. And people who understand the messages that he's bringing across and the influence that he has agree that he's actually making positive change in the world. And the only people that are sitting and complaining on the extreme level are people who simply disagree with his messages. It's not even so much about his character. The far left, the progressive left, who literally want to kill him, that's because they don't believe in his ideology, in the messages that he's sharing. They want him dead because he doesn't agree with them. You don't want your children listening to that. That's extremism. Anyway, and in conclusion, I will say that I've always carefully analyzed the messages, the stuff that he said, and if you just do that without bias, there doesn't seem to be a huge issue with it. It's just that simple. Despite how I might feel about his particular character traits, his behavior, the messages that he's driving home is a lot better and a lot more aligned with the truth than all the other nonsense and garbage that is to be found on social media. Additionally, most people who have very strong opinions about him, even the reporters that come and report him and then shed negative light on him, never really sat through a two-hour interview. And most people who really just sit down without bias, you know what, let me listen to what this guy has to say. Let me hear his story. Opinions change. And it's not the extreme right that's interested in him. Like I said, Tucker Carlson, Patrick Bet-David, and a ton of other people, Elon Musk restoring his Twitter account, you know, that's not Alex Jones, or even more extreme. It's not the KKK. There are people who looked into the case, as I'm discussing here. They spoke to him. They look at what's happening, and they look at his messaging, and they're looking at the entire landscape of what they're trying to do to him, and they come to the conclusion that this guy is pretty legit. And until there isn't evidence that he isn't, it just remains as such. So it'll be interesting to follow what takes place. Typically, there isn't a person, like a young person like this, that pops up that like you really wonder what's going to happen, because the only reason it matters so much is because of his influence, because of his power, and because of how he captured the imagination of the world. So what's going to happen with an individual like that? If he comes out the other side and he's innocent and they find nothing on him, you could expect for his popularity to just continue to grow. And personally, I don't hate it, because I believe his messages are important messages that need to be shared in 2023. I know 100% that the alternative is garbage, is sewage, is detriment. So we need more people like Andrew Tate, Donald Trump. You could say it's unfortunate that you need more people like that, because the fact, and I've said this in the past, but the fact that these types of people are so successful at gaining popularity and influence is a testament to how bad society has become. If society was sane, you would listen to an intellectual, a wise person, handing down values the correct way, without the and that would be enough to influence society. Society has gone so far off the deep end that you need these beasts to come in and shake things up in such a controversial way that you listen. Otherwise, nobody listens. The fact that society has gone this far, so it's unfortunate, I should say, that we need such fringe characters to represent such basic traditional conservative ideas nobody else has listened to. And I'll venture to say that if the world continues to go in the progressive way, the opposite extreme, the characters that are going to be born out of that are going to be even more extreme. So just imagine Tate 2.0. Imagine Trump, then Tate. What do you think's next? If we don't continue, and in 20 years from now, I can marry a horse and we've lost all of our sanity, you better believe that the character that's going to be countering that is going to be off their rockers completely. The alternative is, like I mentioned earlier, teach your children values. Teach your children how to discern these messages, how to place them, how to frame them. And then they don't need people like Andrew Tate. Unfortunately, this world these days, because of how things are going, we do need people and we need characters like that. Anyway, that's my two cents on the phenomenon of Andrew Tate. And let's see where it goes. We have to remain unbiased and clear, especially because it is an open case. Let's see if he ever gets charged with something. And let's learn how to make sense of some of the important stuff that he's saying. I will finish by repeating a very important thing that Andrew Tate himself says. It ties into the media aspect. The people who are really against him are people who listen, who watched, for example, MSNBC, I believe it was, and Vice. There's a couple different documentaries where they're really trying to vilify him, right? We learned through COVID that we were lied to. And this is a known fact. We were lied to about the severity, we were lied to about the masks and various other aspects. Of course, this is only admitted after the fact, but we know this now. But the right knew this while it was taking place and they were fighting it. But media were like hound dogs. They just promoted an agenda. They pushed it far. If you were a person who followed media, followed the hype, and were anal about masks, and you believed everything, and you took your 19th booster shot, and you now learn that you were lied to, if you don't use that as a lesson to change something in your perspective, then you're an idiot. Then you're what he calls an agent, like in The Matrix. You're just a robot. Because if we don't learn from our mistakes, we just repeat them. If your opinion and premise on Andrew Tate comes from media companies that you know have notoriously lied, then you're coming from a false pretense. Do not start any conversation or have any argument about Andrew Tate if you're basing any of it on fake news. You already know that they lie. You know it's fake. You know they're agenda-driven. Don't come from that place. Learn from the mistakes of the past. If you take an extreme example, like pick like a cult of some sorts, like Lev Tahar or whatever, and I come and I tell you the leader of Lev Tahar told me that Jews believe in unicorns. The initial reaction that you're going to have in your head, the initial amount of trust is going to be very close to zero, if not completely zero, right? Because you understand where the source of that information is coming from. So if I begin a conversation and I say, the leader of Lev Tahar told me that Jews believe in unicorns, and now I want to have a conversation with you about unicorns, we got off on the wrong foot. Why? Because while I might be brainwashed, you understand that it's a cult, and it doesn't matter what the leader of the cult said because the dude's off his rockers. When you start a conversation about Andrew Tate, and it's based off of something you watched on Vice or NBC or CSNBC, whatever, it's a non-starter. The world is waking up to what Trump coined fake news and why there's zero trust in these platforms. So if you want to have an unbiased opinion on this matter, you will have to research and look into it and listen to the interviews and actually look at the paperwork, depending on what area of his life fascinates you, and then formulate an opinion. You certainly cannot formulate it on the stuff that you watch on those outlets. With that being said, peace.
Leave a like and subscribe.